Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Judges chapter number 6. I've been struggling back and forth with what to do tonight. I've got my outline here ready to go, and today I've been struggling with how to start off this next judge in our series of judges. We are on our fifth judge tonight. We've made our way through Othniel, then we went to Ehud and Shamgar. Last week was Deborah, and we really could have had, I think we actually did 2 weeks on Deborah, if I remember right, and we could have done more. But now we've come to Gideon. Gideon contains the most information of any judge in the book of Judges. Now, Samson does have a lot of verses, but the amount of information that comes from Gideon is a lot. Matter of fact, I have 5 messages that should be coming over the next series of Wednesday nights that I'll be standing. I know next Wednesday night, Brother Josiah will be standing, and then we'll be in the book of Judges talking about Gideon for quite a few nights that we'll be standing here. But I wanted to start tonight with our first one, looking at the first 10 verses, but today, as I was going back through and trying to read and then doing some work and then reading again and doing some work, and I really, what I'd like to do, this is totally different. I do want to say thank you to our visitors for being here tonight. I do want to do something totally different. I want to read the entire account of Gideon, or at least 2 chapters worth of it, and then I want to cherry pick about 7 or 8 verses out of chapter number 8. And I want to read that tonight, make a few comments, because I want you to see the magnitude of what happens. Because there's a lot of people that say this account of Gideon is nothing more than a fairy tale. There's a whole lot of military information in this account for it to be just a fairy tale. Somebody was writing down as things were happening, and we now have this written account from this time in the book of Judges. But to hear it, and what I was struggling with today was breaking this into 5 messages, and 5 messages that could be preached on a 5-night revival. But trying to break this into 5 messages, it will be so long from hearing it from the beginning of this story to the end of it that I want to give you all of it at once. And then I want to go back. And the Bible does that oftentimes. The Bible will give you a whole account, and then it will go and it will explain that account. Christ had dealt with the parables a couple times. He gave you the parable, and then he came back and he explained the parable. And I want to try to do that tonight, if that's all right. I want to do some reading, and I know that I'll be making some comments about it, but I want to do some reading tonight, and it's going to be quite a bit of reading, so I'm not going to ask you to stand, because I want to read through these 2 chapters tonight, and Lord being my helper, I'm going to try to do it with making very few comments along the way, but that I cannot promise. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Judges chapter number 6, and I want you just to listen, just immerse yourself into what is happening as we try to set this scene for this account in the book of Judges, dealing with our fifth judge of Gideon. Verse number 1 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and the caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against him. And they encamped against him, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers. For multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered the land and destroyed it, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Let me tell you what's happened here in these first 10 verses. The Midianites and even the Amalekites and either other people from the east. Remember we had the Moabites and the Amorites, and the Amalekites were kind of the nomadic tribe. They're to the east. So all these folks, including now the Midianites, were now coming and taking what Israel, what they had planted and what they had sown, and the new little fatlings that they were getting from their oxen and their sheep, they were coming in and right at the right time, taking, swiping up everything that Israel had. As soon as it started growing, they were taking it. As soon as that little calf was birthed into this world, they stole it. So much so that Israel was now hiding in caves and making strongholds just so that they could try to survive. This is what's going on. And God said, I told you I was going to be your God. I've delivered you out of Egypt. I delivered you out of the hand of bondage. I told you I was your God. I told you not to fear them or to fear their God. But here you are yet again doing evil in my sight. Verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and said unto the oak, which was at, I was going to say Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash, pertained unto Joash the Abarazite, and the son of Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, Oh, my Lord, if thou be with us, why has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Israel? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Manasseh was the poorest of all the tribes. My family is poor in Manasseh. I am the least of my father's. He is in the poorest country, and he is the poorest one in the poorest family, and he's the least in the least family in the least country. He's as low. He's at the bottom of. He's so far down in the barrel, he's under the barrel. That's how far down he is. He says, God, I can't do this. The Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If I now found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. He's still not believing it. Depart not thence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. He said, Don't go, I don't believe this. So let me go get a present for you, and bring it back, and then I'll believe it. Gideon went in and made ready a kid, a goat, a baby goat, and 11 cakes of ephah flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in the pot and brought it out unto him under the oak, under the angel, under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon the rock, and I want you to pour the broth over it. And he did. Does that not sound like Elijah at Mount Carmel? And the angel of the Lord went forth to the end. The angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the 11 cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the 11 cakes. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not. Thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, or God and peace. Unto this day it is yet Ophrah and the Abarazites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even a second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Hold up now. Let's stop here. Let's get you caught back up. There's a lot of things that's going to be happening in a short amount of time. So now Gideon, he's hiding by the wine press, and he's threshing the wheat. He's going to make a little cake just for him and maybe his family to eat. And he's got to do this while he's hiding over by the wine press so the Midianites don't come and take it from him. That's not where you thresh wheat. You thresh wheat out where the wind blows through the barn. They've got the big threshing boards on the sides of the barn. Usually these things are 17, 18, 20 inches big. And you get the wheat and you thresh it against the wall. The wind blows through. You got a door open and the wind blows through. And the chaff goes out and you're left with the wheat there. And they're usually barefoot. They're barefoot and they're stomping the wheat as it's going. And it's just blowing through. But what's he doing? He's over hiding behind the wine press. And he's trying to make him a little cake just to eat it. And here out of the blue comes an angel of God. And I want to show you that I don't believe this is an angel. I believe this. I think this is the same person that came and saw Joshua Gilgal. I think this is Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll look at that later. But he comes and he says, "Hey, what are you doing over here? Thou mighty man of valor." Can you imagine Gideon? "Who, me? I think you got the wrong man. I can't do this." So anyway, he says, he goes and he brings the cake back and he's gonna offer this to him. He puts it in the broth and Jesus says, "Take that out and put it on that rock and put the cake beside it. And I want you to take the broth that you got and I want you to drench it on top of that." And he touched it with a staff. Fire comes up out of the rock. Now here's Gideon. Now the angel of the Lord, where do we leave off at? What verse was I on? I done forgot. 25. "And it came to pass the same night the Lord said to him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer it as a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took the men of his servants, took 10 of his servants, and did as the Lord said unto him, and so it was because he feared in his father's household that the men of the city, that they could not do it by day, and he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove was cut down, that was by it, and the second bullock was offered up, and the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash, Gideon's dad, said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him," talking about Baal, "let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because he hath cast down his altar." Let me get you caught back up. God says, "Okay, what I want you to do, Gideon? I want you to go, I want you to take some men with you, and I want you to tear down the altar under that false god Baal that your daddy has on his property. And I want you to take the grove of trees that he..." Remember the grove, we talked about that in the very first judge, what those groves were about, Ashtaroth? Remember what she was the goddess of? That's what they would do there. It was a place of ill repute is what it was. And he said, "I want you to go, and I want you to take two bullocks, I want you to take two bulls with you, and I want you to pull down that altar of Baal, I want you to cut down that grove of those totem poles, I want you to cut those things down, I want you to burn them, and offer that sacrifice, I want you to offer sacrifice to me right there in front of Baal's face." And those men came and said, "Who did this thing?" "Gideon did it. You bring him out here, we're going to kill him right now." And Joash, I think Joash had a quick conversion back to God. Because Joash then says, "Wait a minute now. You're here arguing for Baal? Won't you let Baal argue for himself? You let Baal argue for himself. If Baal wants to come get my boy, he can come get him." That's what was just said right there. And then let's see here. Where am I at? 32. Thank you, brother. "Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal," talking about Gideon. He called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of Israel were gathered together and went over and pitched tents in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and blew the trumpet, and he blew a trumpet at Abiezer was gathered after him. That's not a person. Abiezer was a place where they lived. All those men gathered together. And he sent messengers through all of Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali. And they came to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put out a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by thine hand, thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be kindled hot against me, and I will speak this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once let the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let it do. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all upon the ground. So he put the fleece out, and he said, I want it to be dew on the fleece and dry on the ground. But here's what I think happened. Reading between the lines, here's just what I think happened. Because Gideon was a man of fear and faithlessness, had trouble with faithlessness. So here's what I think he said. When he read between the lines, he put it out and he said, now wait a minute. I think the dew on the ground would have probably got soaked up in the dryness of it. So the ground would have probably been dry and the fleece probably still would have been wet. So God, don't be mad at me, God. But can we do this one more time? But can we reverse that? This time I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. That way I just really know. I really know that you're wanting me to go and to kill all these people. Does that seem logical to you? That's what it seems like to me in my head reading this. So let's pick up in chapter number 7. This will be the last chapter I'm going to read. Then Jerubbaal, Gideon, who was Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. And so the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. They returned the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people yet are too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be to whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I shall say, this shall not go with thee, they shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lappeth, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. So the people took the victuals in their hand and the trumpets, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass at night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Phurah, the servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of East lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude, and their camels were without number in the sand by the seaside of the multitude. And when Gideon was come down, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled down to the host of Midian and came into the tent, smote, and it fell, and overturned the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian, all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of this dream and the interpretation thereof, he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered you into the hand of Midian. I want to stop right there. Thank you for those that are standing. I'm going to pick back up right here. But I want to make some comments. You may be seated if you'd like. We've got to get caught up to where we're at now. There's a lot that's happened, and there's a lot that's going to happen in the next few verses. This is the account of Gideon. So God takes this man who was hiding in a barn, threshing wheat, making a little cake, and he says, "Hey, thou mighty man of valor, I need you. God, you don't need me. I need you. God, I'm nothing. I'm not a warrior. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a great military mind. I am the least of the poorest family in the poorest tribe in Israel. You don't need me, God." God said, if I wanted somebody who can speak, I'd have called a speaker. If I wanted a warrior, I'd have called a warrior. If I wanted a fisherman, I'd have called a fisherman. He does all that later. But he says, "Gideon, right now, I want you." And he calls Gideon out. He says, "Now, Gideon, I want you to send for all the men surrounding, all the tribes that are surrounding you. I want you to call men in, and we're going to do this." And he lays the fleece out while the men are coming, and he does it again. We read all that at the end of chapter 6. So here we are at the beginning of chapter number 7. And God is a little bit smarter than Gideon. And he says, "Now, Gideon, 32,000 men showed up." Gideon's like, "All right, 32,000 and 130,000, we got okay odds. We're maybe 3-1, 4-1 odds. We're pretty good fighters, God. We're really upset. We might be able to do this, God. You showed me the fleece." God said, "Gideon, we're not going to go with 32,000 men. Are you crazy, Gideon? If I send you in with 32,000 men, I know exactly how you all are. You're going to say you were the ones that fought the battle. Gideon, here's what I need you to do. I need you to make an announcement." So Gideon goes and he gets his general guy, and he says, "Well, you go tell everybody I need to make an announcement." So can you just imagine now? I told you it's going to be a little bit different tonight. I don't usually preach this way. But he gets the general up, and the general says, "Hey, I need the attention of everybody, please. Brother Gideon has an announcement. We're getting ready to go to battle." And Gideon steps up there, probably on a rock or something, where all 32,000 can hear him. And he said, "If you're scared, go home. You won't be AWOL. You won't be deserting us with no consequences. You can go home." Wow. That's like that box that they bring in. Well, used to, they would bring in whenever I was early in my career teaching high school. And they would bring this box in to where all the trouble kids were at. And they said, "If you've got anything bad, you can put it in this box and nobody will say." I think they called it the amnesty box. "You can put anything you want in here. Nobody will say a word to you." I mean, kids are emptying out pot and everything else into this box, and knives and all this stuff. They're dropping it in. They close the box up, take it off. Nobody says, this is what Gideon said. Amnesty. If you want to leave, you can leave. No questions asked. And 22,000 of them got up and said, "We're gone." 10,000 left. Can you imagine Gideon looking back at God and said, "God, we were like 4-1. Now we're like 13-1. It's 130,000 to 10,000. God says, "Well, not really, Gideon. That's still too many. I need to try these men one more time. I want you to take them down by the water. And anybody that gets down that is so thirsty, they get down their hands and knees and they drink the water up like a dog. I need you to set them on one side. Just do what I tell you." That's what he said. "Just do what I tell you, Gideon. I'll tell you who's going with you and who ain't going with you. So when they get down like that, I need you to set them over here by themselves. But the ones who scoop the water and do this while they're looking, I need you to set them by themselves over here." So they did. 300 did this. 9,700 did this. So Gideon separates them out. And you know what Gideon's thinking? Okay, 9,700, we're okay. We can still do something with this. I think I've got a strategic plan of how we can take this 130,000. This is like in class whenever I let the kids pick their own teams.
And I say, okay, superstar Johnny athlete, you pick your team. And boy, he's calling every superstar athlete. I want Kenny, and I want Billy, and I want Timmy, and I want to get over here like that. And that leaves, Perry Winkle, and that leaves Bubba with glasses and a limp and all those other boys on this team. And then I look and say, okay, now superstar all-star Johnny, you get to be on that team. Well, that ain't the team I picked. I didn't say you got to pick who's going to be on your team. I said, you got to pick the teams. I'm picking where you go. This is what God said. He said, you separate in 9,700. And Gideon's like, okay, 9,700, we're looking pretty good. God says, hang on, Gideon. I just told you to separate them. I'm telling you where to go. You go with the 300. God, you're kidding me now. Hang on a minute. And let me go back. I want to pick up something that Flavius Josephus said. Who is that? He's a first century writer, somewhere around 37 AD. He was a contemporary of Paul and all those men. He's a historical writer of the Bible. Now, I don't believe everything he said because his writing is not in the Bible. But he probably has some good first, second hand account. What he said in his writing is that all the men who did this were all the men who were arthritic. Well, all the men who were taking the, what was that medicine? Was it that Geritol that they could take to make the joints and stuff feel better? That was the reason they drank like that, is because they couldn't get down. That's why. And so now you're looking over here at Billy Bob Four Eyes and Sammy with a limp and all those other, and you got Big John and all those over there. And Gideon said, God, don't send me with them boys. And he said, those are the 300 you got. Now get over there and be the leader you need to be. And Gideon said, okay, you 9,700, just go on back home. And I'm going to stay here with these 300. And that's what they did. And he kept those 300 arthritic, old men that couldn't even get down to drink the water. That's who he stayed with. I mean, are you seeing how, that's why I didn't want to just start preaching out of 10. I want you to see the whole story. And then we're going to go back and really talk about the story. So he's got these 300 men. And so he's okay. Well, guys, I mean, for the next 3-4 months, I mean, it's going to be MREs every day. We're probably going to be able to take showers. I mean, this is going to be rough for the next few months. Y'all okay with this? You know, old Sammy arthritic and Billy Bob has got the limp. They're like, yeah, we're good. I mean, if that's what we got to do to serve the Lord, we'll go get him. We're with you all the way. So they pick up their staffs and they pick up their prods and they pick up their swords and they pick up their shields and they probably couldn't, you know, John, his elbow didn't work. He couldn't even hold a shield anymore. He's like, Gideon, I'm going with you. I promise, I'm coming. And then God said, now wait a minute, Gideon. Now this is what happens in the rest of the verses. He says, wait a minute, Gideon. This still ain't good enough. I need you to tell them to take all their weapons and just leave them here by the riverside. Can you imagine? Can you be Gideon for a moment? And Gideon's like, God, we are down like 26-1 now. I mean, God, you're killing me here. He said, Gideon, lay the weapons down, and I want you to give each one of them a clay pot. I want you to give them a candle and a ram's horn, and we're going to battle. What are you doing, God? We're going to fight with clay pots. They've got so many camels, we can't even number them all. Gideon, that's what I want you to do. But here's what I need you to do, Gideon. I want you to sneak down into their camp tonight before you go into battle, and I'm going to give you a good word. Oh, I love it when people just sneak into church, like on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings, because you never know what good word you're going to hear when you just sneak right on down to church. So Gideon, he says, now Gideon, if you're too scared to go, because Gideon's prone to be scared, as we've already seen. So God gives him a way out. He said, Gideon, if you're too scared to go, get Phurah, your servant, and I want y'all to sneak down into camp. And with all those thousands of people, just by happenstance, right? I mean, it wasn't God ordained. Just by happenstance, getting in Fura, just sneak up right on these two boys having a conversation. And I'm just imagining them belly crawling there in the middle of the night, him and arthritic Joe here, arthritic Fura. They're crawling up, and Fura's like, hang on, Gideon, I can't crawl that fast. My hips are locking up on me. And so they're crawling here through the grass, and they get up next to these two boys having a conversation about a dream. And this one, I don't know, we'll call him Scott. Scott looks over at Joe and says, Joe, I had a dream last night. And Joe says, oh, really? What was your dream? He said, I dreamed that this cake of barley was rolling down that hill over there, and it destroyed the tent and destroyed everybody that was in the tent, and everybody died that was in the tent. And Joe looked back at Scott and said, that's the dumbest dream I ever heard in my life. That ain't what your verses say. That's what I would have said. That's the dumbest dream I ever heard in my life, Scott. What in the world has that got to do with anything? But that ain't what Joe said. Joe looked back at Scott, and forgive me for my names. I'm just making up names as I'm going now, Johnny. Joe looked back at Scott, and he says, well, that ain't no cake of barley. That is none other than Gideon smiting this whole army. How does he get that? Where does he get that from? He got it from the mouth of God. That's what happened. And so these two men already got fear instilled. And can you imagine what happened whenever Scott heard that? Scott's probably not the brightest bulb in the pack, you know. I don't know that, but I'm just reading them. I'm just reading what the book says, and I'm just kind of inferring that. So Scott probably ran over, and he went over to Will, and he said, hey, Will, did you hear what Joe said? Joe said that Gideon's going to come and kill us all by a sword. Oh, well, that ain't going to happen to us. Come over here. Let's go over and tell Joe. Did you hear what Joe told Scott, told Will, told me? Gideon's coming to kill us all by sword. And this is what's happening during the night. Gideon and Fua, they barely crawl back out of there, and Fua hip blocking, rocking up on him, and he's trying to get back to his camp of 300 people. And they get back to the camp, and Gideon says, all right, boys, here's what I need you to do. I want you to light that candle and put it down inside the clay pot so nobody can see it. And I want you to take your ram's horn, and we're going to divide into three companies around this valley. These boys are in the low part, we're going to get on the high part. And he said, I want 100 over there, and I want 100 over there, and I want 100 over here with me. This is what's happening now in your verse number 7. And Gideon said, when I tell you, when I scream the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, I want you to break that clay pot, let that light shine, and blow those ram's horns, and just keep on screaming, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so Gideon over there with his 100 men, he screams it out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Boom, and they break that clay pot, the torches start shining, and they look around, and there's old Scott and Joe, they're down in the tent, and he said, I told you, they were coming. And they get up, they're running out, and they start cutting each other up down in the valley, and they're stabbing and cutting off stuff, and they're running, and here are the boys, 300 on the hill, all they're doing is screaming, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they watch the Midianites and the Amalekites and the boys of the east kill all themselves down in the valley. And Gideon says, my heavens, I think women got a victory in all this. Go tell the rest of them, 22 and plus 9,700,000 that we sent back. Go tell them to come on, because the Midianites are ready to fall, and we're going to kill every last one of them. That's chapters number 6 and 7. A remarkable account. A remarkable account in your Bible. We did our morning meditation the other day, and this was on my heart so much, and I try to get my morning meditations out of what I'm preaching in, but I could not get away from this. And the question that I had to ask, is there a Gideon out there among us? Of all these people that watch across the world, is there a Gideon out there among us? Is there somebody that's willing to say, I ain't smart enough, I don't talk well enough, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, but God, as crazy as it sounds, I'm going to go do it for you. I know you're with me. Is there anybody? Is there anybody on a Wednesday night in this small number together? I know this is not our Sunday morning crowd. Oh, it'd probably be easier to find a Gideon on Sunday morning, but on a Wednesday night, is there a Gideon out there saying, I know I got, and I don't mean to talk about a hip, Miss Vicky, I just was on the hip, but is there anybody out there willing to say, I'm like, fool, I got this arthritic hip, but God, I'll go for you. You want me to knock on doors? I may have to get my hover around, but God, I'm going to knock on every door I can find for you. Is there a Gideon out there willing to do it? But that's not the end of the story. I've made mention oftentimes of people in the Bible who ended well. Paul ended well. There's other men in the Bible who ended well. David ended well. Samuel did not end well. Judas did not end well. There's others. John on the Isle of Patmos ended well. Gideon, he did not end well. He followed God until chapter number 8. You see, chapters number 6 and 7, it's all about God. It's all what God was doing. It's what God was saying. It's what God told Gideon to do. And all of a sudden, chapter number 8 rolls around. I hope nobody here has a chapter number 8 in your life. Because then it became all about Gideon. And I just want to cherry pick a few verses out of chapter number 8. If you have your Bible still open, I hope you do. We are still at church. I want to read maybe verse number 24 down through verse number 31. They're going to go into battle. They're going to kill the rest of the Amalekites and all this. Gideon has continued to elevate himself up during those first 23 verses of this chapter. In verse number 24, and Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you that you would give me the earrings of his prey. For they had gold earrings because they were the Ishmaelites. And they, being the ones he was making the deal with, answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the king's dominion, and besides the chains that were about the camel's necks. Gideon just got rich. But then look at verse number 27. Oh, it was a fast fall. And Gideon made an ephod thereof. What is an ephod? You Bible students in here, what's an ephod? It's what the priests wore. It was a priestly garment. It was reserved for the priest of the tribe of Levi. Gideon was not in the tribe of Levi. He was in the poor tribe. But he says, I am now at a place that I can wear the priestly ephod. He's not ending well. So he elevates himself to position of a priest. Now, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, Gideon, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. Here we go. And Gideon had 70 sons. 70 sons he had. Of his 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine, that's a non-Jewish woman, okay? And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son whose name he called Abimelech. I can see Brother Whitson shaking his head. He already knows the rest of the story. Probably preached it many times. This son of Gideon, who elevated himself to a priest, and now his son, who is in the Jewish eyes a half-breed, he has a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother. He had no rights in the Jewish community. This boy, Abimelech, all of a sudden one day, guess what he does? He asserts himself to judge of Israel. No rights to it at all. He is going to be the one anti-judge that we will study.
one of the worst judges, one of the worst men that ever took control of Israel. And it all happened because Gideon did not finish well. That is the life and the account of Gideon. As I said from the beginning of this, these judges are not people that we need to pattern our life after. And you say, but preacher, he had all these things that he'd done. I mean, he was a nobody, and yet all these great victories. They had 40 years of peace and quiet. How could they do that with a man who ended the way he ended? You see, God is a very jealous God. And there's one thing, I'm going to go ahead and say two things. There's one thing that God is more jealous about and will cause him to get angry very quick, and that's somebody who steals his glory. In the early parts of Gideon's life, chapter 6 and 7, the glory was all going to God. And through it all, God was still the one who kept Israel alive, who kept their enemies under their feet. It was all God. It wasn't Gideon. It wasn't those 300 arthritic men. It was God. Through all that mess, God was still the one.